Welcome one, welcome all to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. Dave Sturcio, Sturch, Chris Gucci, Gooch, and of course, we've finally decided to give those Mets fans a voice, you know, and who better than Matt Ibby Ibanez. What's going on, bro?
I gotta tell you, I'm excited to be here and finally talk to two Yankee fans who, to be honest, again, everyone with Chop Sports out there, I think there is clearly a Yankee bias when it comes to Chop Sports.
Yeah,
when it comes to Chop Sports in general, so I'm happy to finally be on here so I can provide some information for my few and far between.
We should have put you in the middle.
My few and far between Mets fans out there, but I got you today. Don't worry.
All right, so he claims he got him. That's cool. We're very happy to have him. We got Anthony in studio running our sound. Our intern is back in the building. But first and foremost, last night, Gooch, first, dude, how are you feeling? Because I'm just a total bag of shit
today.
Not
well. I am unwell, as Ashmir Fit would put it. I am unwell.
Like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I mean, we're going to do it
a lot. It's a new term. The new term is hangxiety, right?
Yeah. Is that
I normally have, like, recording day anxiety, but then when you have Jack and Coke, shot of Jameson,
Oh, we got
and
that.
I don't drink like that. I'll be being completely honest. I don't drink much. And, you know, things got a little carried away last night. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, look, we started off at JR's Pub. There was a massive, massive group there. It almost felt like there wasn't a pandemic, which is even better because it felt normal. Probably broke a bunch of laws, but whatever. And Murphy's probably, those fucking knuckleheads down in Ford's. Let's give a special shout out to those knuckleheads doing the nobody's wearing masks. And all this stuff. No, but we had a good time. Everybody was socially distanced. The people were sitting at tables and stuff. So we had a good time. 3rd of July. I was there. They rocked that shit. That's my boy Sean of Health and Fitness Professionals. He's the owner, Joe LaCorey. Amazing on the vocals, bro. Like they really did a good job. I had a lot of fun.
I had a great time.
And the best part is we started seeing some Chop Sports merchandise floating around. Like it was kind of surreal.
Big Ben Wex with the VIP.
Ben Wex.
Up.
Let me tell you something. And you know, he always by like Thursday every week, he always hits me up like, "Yo, I listened to the podcast." Like he's coming, like, he just attacked me again. You attacked me again. This time, Wex, my man, dude, I'm not attacking you at all. In fact, I'm thanking you because
I don't have to catch Wex's back on this one.
Yeah, no, this is big because when I got there, okay, just so you know, and this goes for a lot of the restaurants and bars in New Jersey where you gotta have a reservation. Right. There's not a lot of places you can just walk in and be like, "Hey, I'm here." You know, like, this just doesn't roll like that. I thought for sure that JR's would be one of those places that you could just walk in and do the thing. Apparently not. Apparently they sold out of reservations weeks before the event. So here I am. Like,
when you have 3rd of July playing on your fucking patio.
This is true. This is true. And they really did that. Look, I've been, you know, in the drinking scene since obviously 20, 21 years old. I don't ever go to JR's. I go to JR's for like the last stop of the night, like what's left open, like who's gonna serve me after hours. Not like illegally after hours, but like just I don't know, finish the night off. That's when I go to JR's. But I was there last night and I walk up to the I guess he's not even a bouncer. I think he was just like a manager guy. And he's like, "You know, you got a reservation?" And I'm like, "No." You know? Yeah. And all of a sudden, Big Ben Wex just comes out of the woodwork.
No, I got you.
Like a ninja, bro. Just comes out of there with his Chop Sports hoodie, Chop Sports this, that, and the third. He's like, "Oh, I got the Chop Sports Tyson punch out shirt underneath." I'm like, "That's great, man. Like, damn, thank you very much for buying all that stuff." And he got me right in. He's like, "Oh, he's with me. He's with Chop Sports. You don't know Chop Sports?" And bro, when I tell you, like, I felt like
that's awesome.
I felt like a celebrity for like half a minute. And I was being humble. Like, I was like, "Nah, dude." I was like, we're like a small business. He's like, "Oh, no, you're being too humble, man. We're the next best thing." And I'm just like, holy shit. I was like, I promise, I know this guy. And that was I shit you not, that was the first time I ever met the guy. Yeah. So, like, everything that he described himself is him.
Yeah.
I sound like Joe Pesci. I'm like, yeah you do. You know what I mean? But anyway, big shout out to Ben Wex. He gets us in. We get there. I see somebody we know. So I was able to switch the tables because, like, I knew you were coming and Ash was coming and, like, Baba Ganoush was coming. At first, he was not allowed in. Like, that was awkward.
That was the problem.
I had Sean hit me up. Like, Sean, my boss, was like, "Dude, I saw a guy with a Chop Sports hat kind of walk away. Like, he was denied." And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "What happened?" So anyway, Wex to the rescue again, gets Baba Ganoush in there, and we have ourselves a fantastic time. It was so much fun. Lots of drinks, and lots of great music, great time. So honestly, if that was like a small taste of what we can do, yeah. You know, as a community, and I'm not saying like, hey, we're just going to be all raging alcoholics. Like, there are going to be things that we can do that don't involve drinking. Most of the time, will they involve drinking? Probably. But I think it was a phenomenal time. Yeah. I had a good time.
It gets me thinking about the potential with the golf outing.
Yeah.
The softball nights where we get to go out afterwards.
Right.
You know, maybe doing some Sunday football shows,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Maybe we'll have to find a football guy for that.
Dave
is like, goes into his bunker.
Pump the brakes. Nice. I watch it with my dad because they get me. I said this on this podcast. Yeah. They get me. They understand I'm the special little boy that just can't be seen in public, yeah, during a Cowboys game. That's got to change. I get it. But
last night, whatever. after the JR's pub, we went out.
We went to Big Shots.
Fight.
So what happened was, and shout out to Paula, who I shot her a text. She's one of the better seasoned vets over there. I said, you guys showing the fight? Because I know for sure JR's wasn't showing the fight. Yeah. So I was like, we want to see the Francis fight. We want to see the main, and we want to see Woodley get mashed up again. So let's go to Big Shot. So we made reservations over there. And that's another thing. I got in trouble with her because I was like, all right, there's four of us, right? And we're coming. And then all of a sudden, two guys joined us at JR's.
My brother-in-law, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, him and his boy.
Danny and Alex. They're both also in
Danny
trust.
And Alex. Yeah, I've known Danny for a long time. We actually, how we never actually threw fists is beyond me, man. I don't know how it never actually happened. But he's an Eagles fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. You guys do the math. So, and we've known each other for a long time, and it's one of those, like, you're always drinking in a situation, so it never was pretty. But anyway, so we had two more people, and we had a finagle it because the tables only fit certain people, and Paul is like, you said four, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I was like, they came late, like, what am I gonna do? She's like, it's fight night, I hate fight nights. Like, these servers, listen, they want to be there and they want to help you out and make the money, but man, I get it, because I used to bounce there. Those fight nights, they get so rambunctious and so just full of, like, you want to really make sure you have some kind of quality of person there. Like, you don't want the biggest pieces of garbage in there coming in saying, like, oh, I love fighting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then they want to fight everybody at the end of the night. It's like, it's just a mess. But overall, JR's, Big Shots, both delivered. Chop Sports was on the prowl all night. I got home way too late, and I was, you know, waking up to
new
today.
Heavyweight champ crown.
New heavyweight champ.
Which we'll get into on Wednesday
night.
Yeah,
I was going to say, we would touch that, but there is a brand new podcast out there, Chop Heads MMA podcast with Gooch, Tommy D. Those guys really brought the noise last week. I actually listened. Not that I wouldn't listen, but I listened to it, and I was like, I really like the vibe of what these guys bring. I felt, you know what? There was a little FOMO. I wasn't there, and I was just like, well, where's he sitting? I wonder if he's using my mic.
You talking about Brock Lesnar a little bit?
Well, that's, you know, nah, the baddest man on the planet you want to talk to. I want to see Francis. I want to see Francis.
He would pay to that one.
Brock would never, ever dare stop. Brock would get killed. Dead. Right now, dead.
Yeah. And people put, you know, whatever. Anyway, I digress. But I won't get into that. But yes, go check out Chop Heads MMA podcast with Tommy D of Fight Book MMA, which is another big thing for Chop Sports, man. Yeah. That publicity it hit different. You know what I'm saying? It hit different
when
where
you see another publication, broadcast. Broadcast?
Yeah, no, right? Broadcast, write, publish, there, yeah.
Promote, really do a press release on a partnership with a huge company.
Yeah, and they got such a great reach, especially international. Like, they're not just in the States. You know, they got the mixed martial arts is a worldwide thing, and we're really, really excited to be partnering up with those guys because, again, big opportunity for us.
And there's no off-season, baby.
And there is no off-season. You know what? When there was no sports last year during a pandemic, it was Dana White who said, F you, COVID. We are all in, and we're going to do something where I buy an island. We're going to fight there, and it's going to be amazing. So shout out to UFC, but you guys, like I said, the Chop Heads MMA podcast, will touch on that as well. But great card from what I remember. Yeah. But I do remember the main, and I remember it freaking my man getting
Malarkey
jacked. Ooh. On the shit. Oh, yeah, Malarkey.
Malarkey.
A little white dude named Malarkey. Bet you didn't put money on him, did you? But he won. But yeah, great card, great night, and it was just a lot of fun. So Just a quick update on the softball. We are starting at the end of April. We have a full men's team, a full co-ed team. Jerseys have been ordered. It is just all, I can't believe the response. Mike DeCrosta coming on board as far as his sponsorship is concerned. So he's cutting the cost for everybody. And it's great. And, you know, the jerseys are beautiful. I can't wait to see them. I released them. I think you probably saw them, right?
I saw them, yeah.
Yeah.
They're nice.
They're nice, bro. They're nice. A very good job. I mean, the guy,
Cheese, you listening, bro? If you're listening, what the fuck you doing ordering a 4X jersey? Christian Santiago.
His nickname
is Cheese.
And then he says first base. And after he said his size, I was like, no shit, you're first base.
No. See, that's different. That's Brooklyn Mike.
Brooklyn Mike. Yeah, there's two big guys. What are we doing here?
Cheese is not a 4X. Brooklyn Mike, he wears his clothes a little big.
Okay. All right. You know, so that's cool.
Brooklyn Mike is Brooklyn Mike.
I honestly played it safe. That's what I'm saying.
He is who he sounds like.
I ordered my number one jersey. Not number one. 21 is my baseball jersey. I ordered that XL. And I'm like, if it's snug and I need a double X, I need a second number. So, like, I ordered an extra jersey with a different number just in case.
Did you order it for 44 for Mr.
I did Palumbo? For Mr. Jimmy Palumbo, number 44. Yes, Jimmy Palumbo will be coming on. 1 year contract. It's lucrative. It took it right out of our account. It's very bad. We're broke. We're broke as shit now. So, thank you, Jimmy, for literally crushing our bank account within the first month.
Going to use his name to get some new sponsors, though. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. See, it's quid. What is it called? Quid quo pro,
but I don't know if you want to really go that route.
I don't think I'm using that right, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But, so now, this is a sports podcast after all, folks, and we did bring in Ibby because he's the Mets fan, the resident Mets fan for Chop Sports. Sorry, everybody else.
He's not as big of a fan as we are, though. Like, he's like, he likes sports,
oh my
but
God.
He clearly doesn't have, like, the passion that we have for it.
When I heard that morning, I could have easily jumped through my phone and just
I at least said it, though.
You backed me up. I'm going to say like this.
If I'm a sports fan listening to this podcast and you had the nerve to fucking tell me that you just like sports a little more
than he's like a little bit below me. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, I know what I am.
So anyway, so he's a little bit less than me, but anyway. So he is the, I'm calling it right now. So for the rest of the Mets fans out there, like, I would literally call and give the title of, like, resident Nets fan to Ray Ray. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
easily.
He's the one that doesn't shut up about it. So he's the resident Nets fan. The resident Mets fan who knows everything about everything is Matt Ibanez, I think. I mean, there's probably guys out there.
You got a James Rube that I think I would love
Rube,
to hear
you know
these
what?
Guys
That's,
talk.
He was supposed to be here. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Rube, what, he hung over?
I was excited to work with Rube. The early rain pushed his umpiring games back in the afternoon. So it wasn't without a valid working order in place.
And he umpires with my boy Pete Ham, who I don't know if he's on Chop Sports or not, but Pete Ham, me and him go way back to Cowboy days in Fox and Hound. But, hey guys, this is Sturge from Chop Sports, and I want to talk to you about a new hobby of mine, and that's real estate. Ever since we brought on our resident realtor here at Chop Sports, that's all I can think about. So we got another one. You know who's really good at this stuff? Jay Devlin of CRG Homes. Jay is out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and business is booming. Whether you're looking to relocate, buy, rent, or literally purchase property and watch your stacks get higher, Jay is the guy to do this for you. He's already in the process of helping me out right now on a possible summer home. Call Jay right now, 843-315-5913, and have yourself a chat and learn about all the perks and tell him Chop Sports sent you. You know, as I get older, I tend to appreciate different things. One thing I love now more than I ever have in the past is some unique furniture. Not just any furniture, unique custom furniture made by Battle Rattle Woodworks. He's specializing in charcuterie boards for all those parties you're about to host when this weather gets a little nicer. Even better, if you enter the code CHOP15 at checkout, you're going to get 15% off your entire purchase. Massive savings on some unique American-made stuff. Help support your local veteran right now and visit them on social media at Battle Rattle Woodworks. So, before we get into your Mets fanhood, there is another team that you strongly, strongly are passionate about.
I am.
Maybe not as much as I am about the Cowboys, but no.
I'll give you that one. No. I will give you that one.
No, I was busting off. But you're an Atlanta Falcons fan.
I am, yes.
Not many of them out there.
No.
Not in New Jersey.
Not
area,
New Jersey, no.
So, rise up.
Hey, Jorge. He's a loyal listener, my old roommate, Jorge.
He's a Falcons fan.
Oh,
all right, cool. So you'll
there's two of you.
Congrats.
Wonderful.
But there is some massive, massive craziness going on as we get set for draft season, as free agency kind of came and went, not came and went, but like it's in its second and third wave of free agency. Guys are still trying to find their feet, find their new teams.
Yeah, Packers re-signed Mercedes Lewis to a big, huge contract. You guys see that?
I
like Mercedes Lewis.
Missed that one. I was too busy taking all the Falcons secondary that we made. Dallas took Keanu Neal. They took
I like Keanu Neal. Casey's okay, but you know, I love Keanu Neal, so hope he does well.
He's going to play linebacker.
Hope he does well. It fits him better. Closer to the line, a lot better.
He should. Will side linebacker covering all y'all tight ends. A lot better. But anyway, big stuff out of the draft world because now we're shifting parts. So congratulations to all of you nerds out there who have done mock drafts. And I'm talking to you, Leek. I'm talking to you, Chris Shrieks. You did your mock draft 1 through 9 already. And now it goes up in smoke because the trade of trades happened. Two of them. Yeah. So Friday, we're graced with this first trade that the San Francisco 49ers are moving up. They're moving on up to the east side, and they're taking the 3rd overall pick. Now, what did they give Miami for this haul? It was a lot. It was the number 12 overall pick, the 2023 first-round pick, and a 2022 third-round pick. So they basically said, here's the mortgage,
and we'll go from here. How many first-rounders is that?
Well, they swapped ones, and they gave him 2 additional.
Right. How many first-rounders did they give up for Jimmy G?
Oof. I don't know, but that's a good—
It's kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
All the capital they've invested into now what seems to be 2 quarterbacks because they can't trade up and not take a quarterback.
Well, I was going to ask you guys.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a second because there was another move in which the Dolphins just Kevin Costner'd the shit out of this. We were talking about draft day earlier on the Chopped re-recording. But they move again. And this time they mess with somebody that's up in my face, the Philadelphia Eagles. They're messing with their draft. And the Eagles, this is the most comical part about this entire thing. The Philadelphia Eagles, last game of the season,
they threw
the Giants beat Dallas, and they shouldn't have beat Dallas, but they beat Dallas. All the Eagles had to do was win, and the Giants were in the playoffs. The Eagles, obviously, it was so apparent that they tanked that game. Yeah. It was
Nate Sudfield needed his minutes.
You're right. Nate Sudfield needed his minutes. But anyway, so they tanked that game to get to the 6th pick in the draft. What do you do with that 6th pick? Well, they can go this way. They can go this way. They got a chance to get this guy. Nah, let's trade that pick. Yeah. Giants fans must be chapped.
Yeah, but did the Eagles owe?
Not even a first round pick. Jimmy G did not go for a first.
So the 49ers only gave up 1 second round pick to the Patriots for Jimmy G?
That was it, huh? Wow, what a finagle job that was.
I feel like our intern.
Are you questioning our intern's ability to Google?
I'm curious about that.
So Philadelphia gets out of that pick. Now Philly's 12. So then, oddly enough, Dallas 10, Giants 11, Philly 12. 10, 11, 12, NFC East. And then there's the Redskins or Washington football team down in the teens somewhere. Because after all, they won that division. Nobody remembers that, though. But so the Dolphins move back to the 6th spot. Philly's out. But now Philly, with this move, it sucks for Cowboys fans. Look, Philly hasn't drafted well. Carson Wentz was not a good pick, if you think about it. You dumped them in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So Philly, I'm not confident in Philly's drafting ability, but they are potentially lined up to have 3 first-round picks next year because of all the moves that were just made. Only on the caveat that Mr. Wentz plays all of his games.
And they also added another first-rounder for next season, correct? When they traded down in this draft, they got another pick from Miami next year.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have 3. Yeah, 3 potential first-round picks. Next year.
Yeah. Next year. I thought you said for this year.
So, Philly fans, and I said this to Danny yesterday, I was like, have fun 2021 doing absolutely nothing. And it's got to suck. It's got to burn a little bit knowing that you're going into a season with no hope of winning.
I feel like there's hope for all 4 of those teams.
But here's another thing, and this definitely triggered a lot, but with Philly, there was rumors, and it's been reported from Shefty, and he doesn't report false stuff. He reported that the Eagles attempted to get up to 2 because they wanted Zach Wilson.
Right.
Right after saying, we love Hurts. Mm-hmm. And then you try to trade a 2.
Smoke and mirrors.
It doesn't work. And now it's like, oh, no, I didn't mean that, Hurts. Right. You're still our guy. That's disarray, man.
I think it's
that
smoke and mirrors.
Garbage.
I think the biggest thing with Philly right now is they drop back, they get these picks, and you want to say that they're going to support Hurts, but you hear all these things like, oh, they might go elsewhere. I think what also they're doing is they're allowing themselves to have some flexibility. Because if you drop back and you say, we're going to have three picks next year, that allows them to watch Hurts this year and say, look, it worked. Now we're going to build around him. If it doesn't work, now you have the category. Yeah, but then go get a guy.
It's not like Philly's going into this season with like a strong chance first-year head coach.
Yeah, right. That coach is clueless.
Right.
He might not be clueless. He might not know how to handle the first-time presser, but we'll see. Like the verdict is out on it. That guy.
That was so rough.
He Adam Gase the and now, shit but out of what that you're press saying conference. Too.
And also, it gives them the ability to probably move up in another situation, maybe back into the first round this year if they see a guy.
If they want, yeah, it's possible. I mean?
Right.
So
that's true.
Let's just see how this whole thing plays out.
But now, I beg the question because you brought it up before. Are the Niners moving up to get anything other than their quarterback?
You can't trade up for anything other than a quarterback.
No, other than a quarterback. If you give up that much, it's a quarterback.
It has not
so you're telling
out.
Me they gave up all of that for the attempt to get Justin Fields?
Well, now here's where this is where I think things get a little bit fishy. If you look at the Jets' new head coach.
Right.
Salah.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
San Francisco.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a potential that collusion? San Fran knows
what they're going
to
do?
That they reached out to the Jets. They got a little inside information, and the Jets aren't actually taking Wilson. Everybody says because the Jets were at Wilson's pro day that that's guaranteed that they're going
to
take him.
Every coach goes to every pro day.
Right.
It's smoke and mirrors across the board. I don't see the 49ers moving up to take the third best quarterback in the draft. I don't see them giving up that much capital.
So you think they have an inkling saying, all right, the Jets are going Penny Sewell, like the tackle.
Yes.
Yeah. So we know at three we can get our guy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Your boy, the Shrieks, Leach, your boy. He is your best friend.
He is.
What do you think the reaction would be if the Jets went offensive tackle at two from him? I'll give him the resident Jet fan.
Yeah. If there's one thing with Leak, I know that he is still, and I know some Jet fans out on the
believes
page.
In Sam.
He believes in Sam. He does.
It's not a hard argument.
I'm going to get to Sam in a second.
But again,
maybe not in the context we think.
I think if they stayed and took the tackle, I think he'd be upset because I think he knows the capital that they could get back from trading back with, say,
Cincinnati,
or not even Cincinnati. I was thinking more so the Panthers. The Panthers have been very aggressive when trying to get a quarterback. If they tried to jump up to two, I think the blueprint's there from what the Niners just gave up to come up. The Jets could easily drop to eight and really clean up. If you're going to build around Sam, then build around him.
Right.
Like, if that's the case. But if I'm a little bit different.
So then why haven't they pulled that trigger already? Considering if they're sold on Sam and they want to rock Sam one more time, why wouldn't you do it?
I think that I differ a little bit from you, Cooch. I think we're looking at the Niners probably have some of the quarterbacks clumped together, and I think that they already know that Zach Wilson's going number two. And I think that they have either, be it Fields or Lance, I think it's Lance. I think that's who they're coming up for. But I think that they know that that is the guy that they want, and they give up all that capital to come get their guy who they think is going to work well with.
They trade all that.
Just off the top of my head, you look at the last several times, maybe I'm thinking Trubisky. The Bears traded up to take Trubisky.
Right.
That didn't work out.
They took Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson.
The Jets traded up to take Sam Darnold.
They did.
It remains to be seen if that worked out or not. But if they draft a quarterback like everybody
then it didn't
thinks
work
so
out.
Too, then it didn't work out.
Right.
We could go gone. Even like
which
the RG,
I saw a thing
RG3 that was traded up for.
Oh, that was
even
huge.
Getting back like
massive. Deal.
I know that there's somebody else in there that I'm missing. A quarterback that was traded up for that did not pan out in the top three picks of the draft. So.
Well, the crazy thing
Carson
is,
Wentz?
I saw
was it Goff? Did they trade up for Goff?
They did.
Yes, they did. They
Goff.
Came up for Goff.
So
they did.
There you go.
They did.
Good call. Great call.
I forgot where I was going, but yeah, continue.
No, but anyway, so we are in agreement that, well, maybe not, because Gooch thinks that it's possible
I think
that there's
it's
some
possible.
Intel, little,
I think it's possible.
Little sharing
Bro, I just
of
think,
info.
Like I said, I think it's hard to fucking give up that much for like what people would rank as the third, but maybe they don't rank them third, you know what I mean? Yeah. But just...
Well, what about the rumors that people think that they're coming all the way up to take Mac Jones? Like, I think that's pretty insane if they came all the way up to get Mac Jones.
Mac Jones isn't in people's top 20.
But again, I think the one question...
But I guess if you have your guy, you got to get your guy,
that's
right?
That's the whole
thing.
Everyone's questioning the idea of them coming up for Mac Jones, but they're not actually questioning maybe everyone else has Mac Jones underrated. Like, I don't think it's him. I think it's Trey Lance. But again, I think it's a question that needs to be asked because it's possible that it could happen.
Yeah,
we've seen crazier on draft day.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the Packers trade up for a quarterback last year. So,
bah! who never saw the field. Did he ever dress?
No, not one. He didn't even dress one game.
He held that clipboard well.
Season. Wow. Or whatever. I mean, wow, COVID, wow, wow. You know. Anyway, nobody's talking about so far out of all of us, the Dolphins, bro. They're 2 years ahead in a rebuild. They literally
give that GM a cookie and a lot Chris more cookies Greer after
and
that.
Flores. My I know that
God. People
the Laramie giving, Tunsil trade keeps on giving.
Yeah, bro.
It keeps on giving.
Like five dude, first rounder keeps on meme. Giving. Oh, was it Vincent put Baba Ganoush with the five
morning meme
smokers? Oh God, man, so, that Tunsil trade.
Keeps yeah. on giving.
Holy
Chris
sugar.
Greer, that's a good sports family. I think Mark, his brother, played in the NHL. Right?
Word? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and, wow. Didn't know that.
One of the like early first African-American players to play in the NHL.
No
like,
shit.
Pretty sure. And then.
So he's the one.
Yeah.
I'm
hey. So.
There's a lot more.
I just love what Miami's doing. Flores kind of got a bum rap last year because of the way he handled the Tua situation when mm-hmm. he took him out late in games. But I think that the players and the veterans respect shit like that because I think in the locker room, they knew Fitz gave them a better chance to win late in games. So if you got guys that puts in 50 minutes into a football game, right? And then you're like, yo, we're on the cusp. And everyone in the whole locker room knows that right now Fitz gives them a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you worried so much about some guy's ego and how he's going to handle being benched? This is the NFL. You better fucking be able to handle that shit. I don't want to hear about how, oh, it's going to fuck with his progression. What are you talking about? You got to sit the bench and fucking learn something. This is for the NFL.
Right.
I mean, you'll get your opportunity.
It's about winning
when it
games.
Comes.
That's what it is.
It's about that's what it games. Comes down to. And it's not a knock on Tua. I just think, to reel it back into my point, I think the players respect that shit with Flores. And Miami's 2 years ahead in a rebuild. Everything they've done, we talked about on the Chop 3, the sports movies.
Mm-hmm.
The, draft what is day? It? The draft day. The
Fonte Mac.
The corniest
no
fucking
matter what.
The corniest fucking movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Where the Dolphins managed
you're
to pull some crazy
high,
shit off.
You're friggin' high, man. That's such a good movie.
I am
such
a little bit high.
It's not low, folks.
Edible.
All right. I need to hook up on that, by the way. I got some back pain. But, all right. So, before we wrap up the NFL talk, Ibby, being mm-hmm. the resident Falcon fan, mm-hmm. you're sitting at 4.
Yes.
Now, if this all plays out the way we just said it plays out, where, you know, Jacksonville does their guy, and then the Jets take Wilson, let's just say, and right. then, like, the third quarterback goes to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. What does that do for a team that is definitely, in my opinion, is in the market for a quarterback mm-hmm. because Matty Ice is aging.
Right.
You need somebody behind him, and right now, who is their backup quarterback? Matt Schaub? Still?
No, I'm telling you right now, there is not one player on the roster that is a backup right now. So they have nobody but Matt Ryan at quarterback. That is it right now.
Oh, my goodness.
That is it.
How do you do that? That's I mean, I guess person. You can do that now. There's no OTAs or anything like that right yeah. this second. But, so, is quarterback, is it possible that yes. the 2021 draft is 4 quarterbacks drafted
in a row? If there's one thing I would say is if they stay at this pick, based off of the way this team is built, I with Arthur Smith calling plays now, I think automatically this team goes from the 4th pick to somewhere in the middle teens. So a mediocre team with Arthur Smith calling the plays.
So
that being
Panthers.
Said, you're never going to be in this spot again. And again, the whole thing is a lot of, you know, from what I read, no one's really high on the quarterbacks that are coming out over the next 2 years. So if you have an opportunity to win with Matt Ryan, I guess you can try for it. But for me, the idea of sustainability and having continued success.
You need a quarterback.
You need a quarterback to win in this league. It's that simple.
I would say so.
So
I got one.
So I would say that I think they stay at the pick, and I think it's going to be Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I think that would be
now,
the pick.
Who do you
so
want?
The guy that San Fran just doesn't take.
Doesn't take. But
what about Mac?
But let's,
you
but,
like
let's
Mac Jones?
But let's not forget that there is
how
the
many wants to his birthday party?
There is not one.
Draft
not
day,
one.
Draft day reference. This guy there, who movie sucks.
There is the possibility that a team, they're not going to trade with the Panthers. It's not going to happen. But there are teams like the Broncos that need a quarterback. The Patriots. The Patriots need a quarterback.
I think the guy, he's got some swag.
The Redskins could use a quarterback potentially. Like, there are ways that somebody could come up to this spot for a year. They do have a, you know, the capital to potentially drop back and build around Matt Ryan if they want.
How many more years you got, Matt Ryan?
Yeah, what's his situation like, his contract situation?
The most difficult thing with this is you can't trade him. The fact that they were so cash-strapped when it came to the cap, they needed to max restructure him. So they got under the cap for this
year.
And now
he's backloaded.
But now it's backloaded again. So you're looking at him.
So whoever takes on that contract is taking on some
heavy
shit.
No one's taking on the contract.
Yeah. But if they got rid of him and took on the dead money, you're also killing yourself as well. So they have.
So he's either an expensive backup or he's their guy.
They have at least 2 more years with him, I think. So you're saying, okay, you're going to take a guy to sit the bench for 2 years? Again, I think the problem.
Ben there, just not at four.
I think the problem
with doing this.
The main difference between an Atlanta and the Packers, like, you guys were in a position where you're on the cusp of a Super Bowl. And you chose to take a quarterback. That's wrong. This team is on the cusp of mediocrity. Yeah. It's time
there
to take
holes,
the next.
But if you look at a team with the fourth pick, you're usually going to find several holes. It's very rare where you see like a situation like the 49ers were in or the Colts were in.
And if they choose to stay and they try to win, like, all right, it's my team, I'll back it. And people are going to say, oh, no, take defense. It's like, no, this defense has so many holes.
We took all your defense.
I would much rather stack the offense even more and just try to score points. Give me Kyle Pitts. Give me Jamar Chase. I'd rather go that route.
That's another conversation for another day.
Which is fine. And again, Kyle Pitts. I get that. But again, there are a multitude of ways. Possible.
He's definitely going to be there.
I think if the Jets don't take him, he's there. Yeah, if the Jets don't take him, but he could potentially be there.
I want to be in the house of all Jets fans when they take a tackle or two. I just want to be there. I want to be a fly on that wall.
I think the majority will back it because I think majority do back Sam, except Ray Ray. Ray Ray hates Sam.
Ray Ray hates Sam. I know he does. Chris Payne of the NYPD hates Sam.
A lot of people hate him, but you know the big thing is they didn't put enough around him, and they think
had the worst coach in NFL history.
And again, the biggest thing is this:
Richie Kotite is a better coach than Adam Gase.
One of the best examples. Looking at Gase, we saw Ryan Tannehill in Miami. He was terrible. And who was his coach? It was Adam Gase. He leaves, works with Arthur Smith. Nice. Works with Arthur Smith. And he became one of the top, I mean, stats-wise, top five. But I'm not going to say he's a top five quarterback, but, you know, stats-wise, over the last couple of years, he's been a stud. So is Adam Gase the cancer to these quarterbacks?
Yes.
Now, is Sam Darnold forever like cursed in New York? Does he have to get out to succeed, or can he stay with a new coach and thrive? I think that's the biggest question.
We'll see. It remains to be seen. But
I think his teammates, kind of get behind him a little bit. I don't think there's really been much bad shit said about Darnold by his team, and I think that's the important thing. I don't think that he's lost any bit of the locker room. He came in as a young kid. He's still only 23.
23 years old.
Crazy.
So
I guess it remains to be seen what the Jets do, what the Falcons do, what this entire draft has been shaken up by the draft.
I would take the quarterback.
By the trades. What?
I would take the quarterback.
All right, take the quarterback. Devontae Mack, no matter what. Health and Fitness Professionals is your one-stop shop for all things sports medicine. They now have 4 locations in Woodbridge, Scotch Plains, South Plainfield, and Freehold, New Jersey. They're now offering physical therapy, occupational therapy, pain management, chiropractic services, acupuncture, cryotherapy, you name it, they do it. I can't say enough about their chiropractors on site. I get adjusted literally 3 times a week to get my old 35-year-old self feeling as best as possible. Contact them today. Check out their website, www.hfrehab.com, for more info. Hey guys, Sturch here from the Chop Sports Podcast, and I want to tell you a little bit about Sunflower Meadow Seasoning. First of all, a guy my size likes flavor on his food, and there's nobody other than Jess that I go to for that. Her flavors range from French onion, BLT, Cajun country, so much more. They got dip blends, season shakers, smoothie mixes. Not even kidding, I've added some of their smoothie mixes to my post-workout protein shakes, and my goodness, what a difference. Get on over to sunflowermeadowseasoning.com for their entire list of products. Tell them Chop Sports sent you. So we move on to the reason that we brought in Ibby is because he wanted all the Mets and Yankees smoke. He wanted it.
I want to talk some Mets, baby.
He's
Let's go.
Getting it. We are, as we release this podcast to the world on a Sunday, it's upon us. Opening week is upon us. Mm. Baseball is back.
We made it,
4 days away.
It doesn't feel like... It's just spitting everywhere. COVID. It doesn't feel like COVID. Blech, just everywhere. It really feels normal. Mm-hmm. Baseball fans are going
to
be in the stands.
So you want to go to a fucking game and you got to present like...
Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, it's going to be so annoying to try and get there.
About that. We're gonna, we don't want to diminish that.
Keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple.
But yeah, I mean, look, baseball's back. Obviously, in CHOP Sports, when it comes to us, there is a very heavy Yankee, heavy Met presence.
Very heavy.
Heavy. Yeah, maybe too heavy on the Yankees. Who knows? We'll find out. But I haven't really... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do like a State of the Union kind of post one day and say, baseball season's here. State your team. Just
I like
so
that.
I can see, just so I like can see where we're at. You know, like, see if there's like a fucking St. Louis Cardinals fan out there like, yeah. Go La Russa.
I think somebody did that with the NBA, and I was like, I kind of just like players. It's like,
right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm curious because we'd like to know for merchandise purposes. You know, like we're coming up on a couple new baseball t-shirts. So check the store soon. But yeah, so Yankees, Mets. Okay. Mm-hmm. Expectations always for the Yankees.
Always.
It's championship or bust. That's
as it.
As
it should be.
There's no. Ever since I've been a fan, ever since I guess 96, really, when they got that one. You know, and then they got the two and the three and the four, and it just started to happen. Now you are spoiled Yankee fans out there, including myself, because I have wholehearted high expectations for this team every year.
11 years? Are we on 11 years now?
What, since the last time they won?
Yeah.
It was 2009?
Nine.
My dad got married. So, yeah, that was
fun. It's been a while. It's been a while.
I'll never forget. Oh, that Teixeira home run, man. We almost killed my sister-in-law. We almost killed her.
The A-Rod tied it in the ninth. Yeah, Joe Nathan.
Teixeira hit a home run, and we were jumping up and down, and Christina is brand new to Danny, my brother.
Yeah.
And she's sitting on the floor while we're all watching this game. He hits that laser home run.
Right.
We got up and started stomping around. You just see her poor little self just hunched over in a ball like, I'm going to die here, you know. Like, but anyway, expectations always high. You know, this year, I'm going to be brutally honest. They should get out of the East. They should get out of the AL. But it seems like they're always coming up short as of late.
To say they should get out of the AL, it's so early to say.
I get
should.
It, but like, you know, you got the best pitcher in the American League. Got
teams like Oakland always. Turn out to be decent. Toronto's lineup is stacked, so it gives us some work in the division.
See, there is work in the division because again, I'm not going to just throw away the Rays because the Rays retool and they always figure it out.
A little bit,
the Jays. I love the offense in Toronto, but the pitching is not good. I mean, Hyunjin Ryu is nice, but again, 2 through 5, a lot of question marks. So I'm with you when I say when you say the Yanks should be the class of the AL, and if you were to ask me who do I think is coming out of the AL to represent in the World Series, I would say it should be the Yankees. Like, it should be.
I'm scared of their pitching.
Me too. They announced today. I actually saw it. The rotation for the first series was, in fact, Cole, Kluber, and Herman,
and then Montgomery, I think, is the four. And then we'll come back to the top before they go to the fifth.
They're skipping Taillon.
They're going to ease him in. Yeah, I agree.
You got
Devi
Garcia back there too. So I agree. Okay.
I'm very curious to see what the Herman thing is with everything that happened with this guy. Like,
right.
I know that a lot of people, you know, I'm not going to touch on all that subject, but I'm saying like a lot of people are going to you have to deliver this year because if you don't and you came off of everything that just happened, Herman will be booted out of New York.
I think it doesn't really matter. Like that just gives somebody like something clever to say to him. But it doesn't matter what the fuck you've done. If you don't perform in New York, you're getting booed.
There's extra incentive to say goodbye.
And like I think he's gonna do well. He's got electric stuff.
Listen, you're right. He was slick. He was slick with it when he was ready to go.
And he has
beating up on women. He was fine.
I'm not going to touch on that.
We'll avoid that one.
In case people are like, what is he even talking about?
There's a little bit of like ignorance is bliss type thing that goes on in New York with some of the guys where they're able to tune out a lot of the negative.
That's where I say if now all of a sudden he starts off 8-0 with like a 1.6 ERA and there are people like, I don't care what you did. Keep doing your thing. Yeah. Like there's people out
there.
There
are people
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, for me, for example, when the Cowboys signed Greg Hardy straight off of bid, I was like, he's gonna murder Tom Brady.
Literally,
he might stab him. I don't condone any of that garbage, but I'm just saying. When you're a sports fan, you tend to just try to get excited about everything that you do to progress your team better. Mm-hmm. Herman makes this team a better team. with his skill set. Now, before we go like head to head, position for position, I do shift to your Mets.
Yeah.
With their nice little signing in Francisco Lindor.
Not a top 10 player now. Just nice. Listen. Nice little player.
Now, why hasn't he signed yet?
It wasn't a signing anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right? It was a trade. Sorry.
It was a trade.
But nice little addition.
I'm glad you brought that up because, as reported by Jeff Passan recently, Jeff Passan knows his thing.
Him and Heyman are like 1 and 1A.
Just reported that Steve Cohen had a nice dinner last night with Francisco Lindor, the two of them.
What do they have?
I'm sure it was the lobster. But either way, I have, and the fact that Cohen put out a tweet the other day.
Why would he do that?
Did
you see this tweet?
He put out a tweet.
Literally put out a tweet. I know you're not on Twitter.
He goes, I'm crowdsourcing. What do you think it's going to take to sign Francisco Lindor?
To the crowd. The fans.
So again, everyone has their responses and everything.
I said
10 years, 315 was my guess. But the point is,
he's definitely a $300 million player.
He's going to get more than that.
He might, and that's fine. Just pay him. But I think he puts out that tweet because I think he knows he's signing the guy.
Give him infielder money. He's arguably the best middle infielder in the game right now.
Well, if we talk about over the last 5 years, if you look at the stats, some people don't like to look into the whole geekiness of WAR and everything, but if you're looking at those things.
I didn't even know what WAR was up until like 3 years ago.
But again, the last 5 years, it's a runaway. The best shortstop in baseball is Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, and I'm just saying Tatis brings some work to the table. He might overtake that throne.
I was just going to say Tatis enters the chat.
Javi Baez is up there. There's some talent, especially in the National League right now.
The thing that Lindor can easily say at the table is, look, I know Fernando Tatis is younger than me, but he did it for 1 year. I've been doing this for the last 5 years.
And the only other thing, though, is he did have a down year. But
But 2020 was so rough.
You look at the hard hit rate, and you look at the – I know you don't really give a fuck about analytics, but this is what you can kind of get an idea as to why you don't really have to read – you don't have to read too much into the down season last year because the walk rate was still there.
Right.
The hard hit rate was still there. It was just a lot of hard luck outs where you hit the ball hard. It just goes to somebody.
Yeah.
That's baseball.
Yeah, that's baseball.
Do all the numbers, baby.
That's baseball with the shift. I mean, it happens. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Ban the shift. No, I'm kidding. So, obviously, Lindor is the stud of your lineup now. Mm-hmm. You do have a lot of guys that are legitimate good ball players. Mm-hmm. The rotation, starting with probably arguably the best pitcher in baseball, right?
The best pitcher in baseball.
I guess there's no more argument there. mid-season, you might get like a it's going to feel like you made a trade at the deadline if Syndergaard comes back and he comes back healthy. You know what I mean? So where are
your season? That's like June, no?
They were pushing May, but I'm thinking like the middle of June.
So that's mid-season,
my guess.
Right?
It's like two, three months?
Yeah. Anyway.
It's a long season.
No, I know. And I'm just glad to have a full baseball season back, which is even better. But now you know, your pitching staff is what it is. Mm-hmm. Your bullpen still, whatever.
It could use some work.
So let's go. Let's go to the back end of the rotation. What do you think of these guys? I don't know anything about these. Look, we all know about DeGrom.
Right.
We all know about Stroman to a degree. He's going to be interesting to
see. Little
but I love
punk.
That shit. You know, you
yeah, I know.
You know, increases the pressure. He's a New York guy anyway. I'm pretty sure he grew up in New York. So he knows what he's getting himself into.
Right.
I think you maybe have to temper expectations on Carrasco because he is good. Yeah. But, you know.
Well, again, when it comes to Carrasco, the biggest thing right now is just the injury and how he comes back from it. But in terms of, like, what...
How long are they talking?
I'm going to say a month and a half. That's my guess to ramp things up.
Who he reminds me of, almost like a Freddie Garcia type, where he's like.
Oh, see, Freddie? I think he's a little bit above that. And again, because you're on the same page with me with when it comes to analytics over the last again 5 years, Carlos Carrasco has a 25 WAR. So again, he's someone that he is someone that clearly when you look at the numbers, he is a number two, and it sucks that he got hurt. But again, I think he'll come back within a month and a half is my guess, and then we'll see what happens and what he'll ramp things up. But I do think that he is going to be a big part of the success of this team as long as he does
and
come back healthy.
It would be nice to get him as bumped down to the three, or if Stroman could pitch the way he is capable of pitching, he could actually be a four, Carrasco, like any of them. It really doesn't matter where you line him up.
So you're confident in the rotation?
I am confident in the rotation mainly because, obviously, again, beyond DeGrom, I'm looking at it and I go, there is a lot more depth than we've had in previous years. And you could say, well, you know, we're looking at the likes of Joey Lucchese, Jordan Yamamoto, like all these guys.
He's a solid.
Which is fine. And the big thing is you finally have guys that you can trot out there. If somebody gets hurt, you can say, I'm putting a guy.
It's a major leaguer.
Yeah. I'm not rolling out there with with Walter Lockett. Yes, I'm not going out there with Corey Oswalt. Like, I'm not throwing a game because of an injury. Like, something happens, I can put someone out there that can actually be, you know, competent, which is a big thing.
I know we all kind of talked about, like, we're going to bring the smoke, and it always turns into this. It's like, it never actually is beef. It's like, we just sit here and
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with the Mets. So it's like, no problem with the Mets.
So I know that we talked about the Lindor acquisition,
right?
But it really wasn't a free agent signing. The biggest free agent signing that the Mets made, in my opinion, now it's arguable because I like the two of them, but the bullpen,
right?
That's the one. Mm-hmm. You know, like Trevor May,
Trevor May,
throws heat. They come from Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, yeah.
I think he's the guy that you're going to look to turn things over into the ninth inning, obviously, right?
I think Trevor May is going to be huge this year.
That's the thing.
I think he's going to be huge.
Outside of him, who do you got in the bullpen?
Again, I knew this question was going to come up.
I knew
it was coming. And again, when it comes to Mets fans, especially right now, there are few and far between that really believe in Edwin Diaz. I'm one that does believe in Edwin Diaz. I believe last year. Well, believe me, there are a lot of Mets fans that think he's terrible. And again, if you want to talk about the deal that happened, like that's a whole nother can of worms. Like I'll get angry about that one later.
I can't look that way anymore.
He's done. And I believe in him. Like, when it comes to the bullpen, I look at four names. I look at Diaz, who I trust. I look at May, who I trust. I look at, you know, Miguel Castro. Maybe you guys don't know him. He's been having a good spring. They got him last year. He's been very filthy with the stuff. He's got good stuff. And I think he's going to play a big part in the sixth and seventh inning, especially when you're trotting guys out there that don't get as much length as a DeGrom or as a...
You were talking about the depth, else. Too. Like, having those guys at the back end that maybe are the six, seven guys, they could go along.
Right.
If you need a guy, if someone gets hurt.
What about our guy, Dellin Betances, bro?
I'm going to act as though Dellin Betances is not on this baseball team because the fact that, I mean,
any
just
positive
said before,
you get out of him is a bonus.
Exactly, but I think the positives are going to be few and far between. Yeah. So the fact that he's topping out at like 92,
that's bad.
It's bad. And I just saw an update before saying how he was working with his off-speed. Like, all he's got is off-speed stuff. Like, that's it. So again, I'm not counting on him.
He can refine it, but it's just difficult for a power relief pitcher to all of a sudden rewrite the fucking book on how he's doing things.
Right. And you're talking about a team that has legit expectations. And we talked about before how, you know, the Mets are at 90.5 in terms of the over under. So clearly you're looking to win. If you trot out
high pressure
on a New
baseball,
York team, Dellin Betances, and he blows a game against the Braves, like, he's going to hear it. And then you don't know what's going to happen after
Are the Mets getting out of the East?
As
champs.
It's tough.
That's
arguably the toughest division in baseball.
We hit on that before, and I think that as tough as it is, and they're going to be fighting with, you know, a bunch of teams within a division I think are very good, I still think the Braves are the number one team.
Mm-hmm,
okay, I love my team, but I think the Braves are still the number one team that can win 94, 95 games. But I think the Mets are right there. I think they can be 89, 90, 91. But again, I still have them coming out as a wild card.
So they're in the playoffs. They're in the
playoffs.
Okay.
I'm in the postseason, but I still think the Braves are just a smidge.
Okay. All right. That's a easy prediction. I agree with it. I think the Mets can get in as a wild card. I think the Yankees should win the division. So both teams in the postseason. Now,
yes,
we'll do a rapid fire because, you know, we're running a little late here.
Yeah.
Rapid fire, position by position. This is where you wanted the smoke. This is
Let's
what you're about
this.
To get.
Let's do lineup.
Fine.
Okay.
Let's do lineup.
Okay.
We'll do that.
All right. So projected lineups 2021. I have them. Oh, you have him right here. Look at that. You let it. Look at you. Nice and prepared.
I like it. I like it.
So, leading off for the Yankees, DJ LeMahieu. And then you have for the Mets.
Probably Nimmo.
So, if we're going to go that way, obviously, I think as much as Brandon Nimmo divides the Mets fans, I'm taking DJ LeMahieu in that situation because he's one of the best hitters in baseball. So, again, if you're putting it just side by side off of that, yes, DJ LeMahieu is a better player.
Do you think that McNeil should be leading off for the Mets?
I think, again, this is where people get so disconnected with
he is
Brandon
a lot
Nimmo.
Like LeMahieu.
Like us, if we look at it, we could say Nimmo has an on-base percentage of over 400.
I know what on-base percentage is.
So he knows that, which is good. Yeah. But at the same time, I would also assume that you're a guy that looks at the back of a baseball card and says, this guy's good, this guy's not good, as opposed to looking to the deeper stats.
Yeah, definitely.
So again,
I'm with that.
So again, a lot of Mets fans are that way, and they think Brandon Nimmo stinks. But again, in terms of new baseball, Brandon Nimmo gets on base. Yeah. I think he can, if he's leading off, I think he can score upwards of 110 runs this year.
And he grinds out counts.
And he grinds
a lot, fouls off pitches.
He gets
like
on base.
That's how Gardner's
the biggest
been in the league
thing.
All right,
in terms of those side by side, yes, it's DJ LeMahieu.
So Nimmo bats first, that means McNeil will bat second.
Not necessarily. Okay. Right now, I think McNeil might be batting sixth. But again, it could. Yeah. There's a lot of movement within this lineup. Because
you want to see Lindor probably batting second.
Correct.
Because that's why I'm looking at it right now. You want Conforto third.
The old Jeter spot.
Again, 3-4-5 is so interesting. It could come down to who's actually pitching, because I think you could have it where you have one day Conforto, Alonso, yeah, Dom Smith. And then another day you might back it up where it's Dom Smith's batting third and Alonzo's four and then Conforto. Good, there's a lot of
McCann
mixing
at
around.
McCann at eight and that bullshit that they have in the NL about no
DH. Oh, you mean no DH?
Come
yeah.
on. Yeah. I thought we finally turned the corner there. 2021,
man. We're here. We're turning the corner there.
Well, you got to say it's a bargaining chip now for the new CBA, so that's why they are holding off on that.
That's a very good point. And I think the Mets would be better off with
if the Mets. I'll put it this way. If the Mets had the DH this year, they would have went out and they would have signed Jackie Bradley Jr. He would have been playing center. Nimmo would have been in left. Dom Smith would be at first. Yeah. Pete's our DH. We're much better defensively.
Versa, depending on
what happens.
Out,
They would have been much better defensively, and I would have put them above the Braves. But because that didn't happen, and we're still hitting with pitchers.
I think the Braves probably have some heat down in the minor league system, too.
No, they could have brought up. They are one of the top systems in baseball.
I think they would fare well with the DH spot right now. Atlanta.
The Yankees took a hit over the weekend. We lost Luke Voigt for a little bit with a meniscus. So now all of a sudden, just like that, Jay Bruce finds himself in the lineup. Ooh. So that's not happy about all
having
that.
Having a decent spring, but again, you don't want to see
that. Oh my God, I'll be bagging groceries.
Yeah, but a guy like Jay Bruce, is it somebody that he could catch fire early out of the gate? You never know. He could hit 10 home runs in a month.
Well, no, that's especially in that stadium, he easily could. He could get it's the ball possible.
Up and
out.
So look, I mean, up and down the lineups, both of these teams, man.
What about health?
They're relatively good, both of them. I think both of these
Yankees
teams
have the best lineup in the American League.
I don't even think it's close. Hicks is up and down, but like if Stanton plays to form, if Torres plays to form, there's not a lot of spots on that lineup. Unless Bruce plays like Bruce, but like there's not a lot of spots to get some outs. And I kind of feel that same way about the Mets. I mean, look, they got a better lineup than they've had in the years past. So
I would say I was talking with Casey Cabanellis, another guy on Chop Sports.
Yeah, he's another big Mets fan.
We were talking about it yesterday, and just hitting on the fact that this Met lineup is probably the best Mets lineup since 2005-06. So we're talking about when we had Carlos Beltran, Carlos Delgado.
Yeah, and honestly,
Jose Reyes,
I think Lindor fits that culture.
I absolutely see what you're saying.
I get Reyes out of him a little bit, but like a better version.
I said that I compared it where Jose Reyes was like the, what was it, Charmeleon of Pokemon, and the evolved version of Jose Reyes, who's great.
I was literally going to say something
Lindor,
like that.
Lindor is the Charizard.
I was going to say something like that. I was like, it's Lindor's like what Jose Reyes, that everyone thought he was going to be.
Lindor is Reyes, but with more power. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But, Ibby, bro, thank you very, very much.
I had an awesome
time. For bringing the smoke.
Yeah,
we knew you could.
Honestly, it took some of the pressure off me with the anxiety that I was dealing with.
Right. Me and him were just like, God help us. Just carry the show.
And if you count the Tommy John surgeries in the Yankees rotation combined, there's more Tommy Johns than there is pitchers.
When it comes
to that staff, and I might have to double check it just to make sure, but I think over the last 2 years with that staff as it is right now, I don't know if 2 through 5 has a combined 35 starts.
They don't.
Which is insane when you think about it in a full season.
And if you want to add in the possible 6, the possible 7, and Severino when he comes back in June, they still don't add up to 35 starts.
The Yankees just better score some runs.
You gotta score some runs,
bro.
Man.
Score some runs. I hope you guys enjoyed Ibby coming on board with the Chop Sports podcast.
They still got Sessa somehow making the roster. I don't know fucking how.
Me neither. But again, we're all excited. A full baseball season is upon us.
Baseball's back, baby.
Fantasy baseball, all that good shit. Just get involved. Get on the Chop Sports Facebook page. Let's hear your teams. I'll post up something this week just to get a grasp because I'm actually really curious. But for Sturch, that's Gooch. That's Ibby. And for, of course, our intern Anthony, who did a bang-up job sitting here on the boards today.
Great job.
We will see you guys next week.